I want you to turn to Psalms 126. Psalms 126. And then in just a little bit, we'll be in Galatians 6. This is a Thanksgiving message. I prepared it for Wednesday night, and before I came, I said, that's got to be Sunday. I never do that. I usually, Lord leads me, whatever I've got on my heart, it's coming out on Wednesday night. Maybe you'll see here in just a little bit why it's that way. Look at Psalms 126. Go to verse 6 first. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's a guarantee. You see the word doubtless? There's no doubt about spiritual things that God does. 100% every single time. When we sow spiritually, something's going to happen. Most of the time, folks will take this out by itself and use it as an evangelistic, soul-winning message. And it is partly that way. But I want to talk about more than that because I think it's included in everything we do. I've had years and years as a pastor, and I've done rehab, I've done marriage counseling, I've done about anything you want. But I allowed the Lord and prayed to Him to make it spiritual. The church is filled up with worldly programs, 12-step methods, and all these things that don't do anything more than what the world does. We don't copy their methods, but we do the same work spiritually. Because there are issues, there are chemical problems that people have. The greatest thing with the guarantee to get the spiritual life to them is do what we just read. We're going to talk about that today. I have been many years through different things. It wasn't long ago I went to a Christian food and clothing closet. I wasn't planning on going there, but I had to meet somebody there, a preacher that I was meeting, and he said, "Meet me over here. I've got to go over there." And I observed for just a little while, and it was just what I thought. Because I've been through it many, many times as a preacher. Forcing or requiring somebody to hear a 5-minute gospel sermon so they can get some clothes and food. There's a lot wrong with that. And it wasn't long before the man knew what I was thinking. And he questioned me about it. And I said, "If I had time to sit down with you and tell you my experience and the heart God gave me, then I could get you to understand." I watched as it went on, and just like always, somebody would come in. They need clothes, they need food, they need a lot of things, but they need to sit down and listen. "What do they go for?" I asked the man. "What do they come for?" He said, "Foods and clothing." I said, "Well, what are you wanting to get out of it?" "Well, I want to be religious. I want to obey the gospel. I want to give them the gospel." And I said, "Do you really give them the gospel?" He says, "Well, no, not really. I just read some scriptures with them and pray with them." I said, "Do you think it works?" He says, "Well, no, I don't think it works at all. I don't see no fruit in their life." And I said, "What kind of fruit are you looking for?" He says, "Well, some of them are on drugs and some of them are here and some of them are that." I said, "Well, that's not spiritual. That's flesh. And if the Lord got a hold of them spiritually, there'd be a lot took care of, wouldn't there?" So we've got this problem, and it's all over the church. It's all over the way that everybody disciples, supposedly. And I asked him, I said, "Do you ever get any of them saved?" He says, "Well, every one of them tell me they are saved. And they're still strung out. They're still this." And what a mess. And I don't want to get into that, because there's a lot of marriage issues. There's a lot of family counseling that needs to go on. But everything that I just mentioned, plus, has a spiritual reason to fix it. We shouldn't accept and enable people like they are. In fact, the gospel goes completely against that, doesn't it? And there's a better way with the gospel, instead of even getting into anybody's problems. I've been able to lead folks to the Lord. I've been able to help families get back on their feet many, many, many times without ever needing to know anything wrong about their lives. All I need to know is, do you have the Lord? Yes or no? If you do, then let's talk just a little bit about what's going on since you have the Lord that can make your life better. And if you don't, we've got a lot to talk about. So I want to share with you a message in these six verses that has to do with spiritual power. Not frustration, not disappointment, nothing like that. Because how hard it is to see somebody leave that you know needs the Lord, but your religious programming doesn't even allow you to do anything. I used to do that in Auburn Town, and I would get people's names and addresses and go see them. You know, they need clothes, but they shouldn't have to be required to go against something that maybe they're not even ready for. The Lord will make them ready, and then He'll call us. And it's better that way. So I want to bring to you a message this morning about spiritual things. It's not what you know, it's what you sow. And I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads as we pray. Father, we thank You for Your word and Your power. Oh, many of us have these experiences. Many of us have been on both sides of them. And there's nothing today to put anybody or anything down. There's a lot of godly people that are growing and maybe misled, but maybe they could see too the right way and the right understanding to have to be a part of evangelism and a part of winning souls. And we pray that You would give us that knowledge this morning through Your word, and then the spiritual power to do what You want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. A sheave. I remember when a little child in elementary Sunday school, the big old corn sheaves. This is the sheaves is talking about. Probably wheat. But they're big stalks, aren't they? And they're tied together in the middle, and you can even stand some of them up. It's a harvest. It's fruit from the harvest or the stalks that remains from that. It's something to show for what you've done. Okay? Now, the very first thing we need to realize about helping somebody spiritually is talk about our deliverance. The first couple verses is about the person that's going to go out, not the person that needs to get saved or get right or have some help. But it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Turn the captivity again, which means the children of Israel were in Babylonian captivity years and years and years. And a lot of the people that left were born while they were there. And a lot of the people that went in died before they went out. So there's a generation in here that has never left the life that they've known for maybe 70 years, 60 years, 50 years. Captivity, prisoner, slavery, all those things. And it's not your homeland. It's away from where your homeland is. But there came a day, and when? The Bible says when. Whatever God promised, however He was going to do it, it was now time. And He delivered His people and sent them back to their land. It says that we were like them that dream. Too good to be true. They've dreamed about it. They've heard about it. They've understood all the Old Testament stories, all the lessons that they give them from the scriptures in that day that happened before them. But there came a time when they were truly delivered. It says, then after that, after we're delivered, was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. What a joy, huh? Have you ever got so blessed with so many things that when the deliverance was finally come, that it was too good to be true. And you saw it was singing and laughter and that kind of joy, right? I think of cancer. Think of a lot of disabilities, a lot of things that many of us have gone through and will go through. The thought of dying, the thought of somebody not being here ever again, all those thoughts that we come up with. I've had some folks that have got some bad news, and there's been a couple of them that I was so close to their family that they asked me if I would go and tell the folks what the diagnosis was. You know what I found out every time? Very few that I had, they already knew it. They already knew it was going to be bad. They already knew what was going to happen to them. But as bad as it can be, and as long as it goes on, and the devastation that we've had, God can heal it, can He? Doesn't that make a difference? Doesn't that make an instant difference when the results come back good and there's not a lot of things we have to do and we can go on with our life? And you say, well, I've never had a disease and I've never been sick and I've never been to Babylon, preacher. I don't know. Have you ever been saved? Saved from what? From a lot, huh? You ever thought about what Jesus has saved us from? From hell? You ever thought about what it would be like to go to hell? You ever heard the fiery sermons when I was a kid? Oh my goodness, scared me to death. I had a nephew that was a junior high, and I preached a tent revival over here. Aaron Tippin, I guess, had that parking lot, and they let me put a tent there, me and another preacher. And he had just got burned a couple years before that. I mean, bad burned. And I preached on hell one night. And we got in the car, and he said, Uncle Jerry, he said, I'm so glad I don't have to go to hell. Y'all might know him, Caleb McKay. I don't know if some of y'all might know him. He's, 40-something now? He's an old man now. That was a long time ago. But he understood, didn't he, because of an experience that he had in this life, in his body, that he could spiritually see that there really are folks that will burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And the fire will never be quenched. Ever, ever, ever. It's always going to be like that. And I don't have to press it because God's Holy Spirit will make you believe it. He really, really will. He'll make you believe it like it is more than anybody else could ever do. Not just afterlife, but what about now? What if folks keep doing like they're doing? I could write a book and keep notes that almost everybody I've known all my life that's been into a lot of heavy drugs and alcohol and all these things, about 60 years old, if they make it there, that's usually probably all they're going to make it, if they make it that far. My family included. I know this for a fact. There's some things that's coming your way and my way if the Lord doesn't stop it. And sometimes He doesn't intervene, does He? Sickness and disease, but how awesome it is for somebody to be completely changed. Saved in your and mine, huh? We're saved. We're saved from hell. We're saved from ourselves. We're saved from a whole lot of stuff. And what a joy it is, right? That's the beginning of the joy in the singing and the laughter that you take with you when you go talk to somebody about the Lord. Can I do that sitting down? Probably not. Let me meet with y'all. I got something to tell you. They're not going to let me tell this in this little room just between me and you, but it's going to get different here in a little bit. When I start out by witnessing to you, I don't care about you, what you're going through right now. I'm not worried about what you need right now, but listen to me. Listen to what's happened to me. God's turned my captivity away. I'm not lost anymore. I'm saved. I don't have cancer anymore. Amen. I don't have all these things anymore. God's took care of me. And you see, it says it was just like somebody that dreamed. Pinch me, please, and see if I'm really here. Because an awesome thing has been done to me by the Lord. It says that the Lord hath done great things for me. And the most important part is, then they that were among the heathen saw, and even they had to say, the Lord's done great things for him. Is that your life as a Christian? That's the starting point right there, to be a witness, to be a soul winner. That is the thing, the most important first thing, more important than anything else. It's all about what God has done for me. And if I'm not allowed to have that as my witnessing tool, I'll just go somewhere else, because that's what God has told me to do in a spiritual way. Not about them, not really about me, but all about the Lord. The Lord hath done great things for us, hasn't he? And we're glad. Good Thanksgiving message, isn't it? I thank God for my two kids. Thank God for my six grandchildren and the one that's in heaven. I thank God for us, because he's done great things. And everybody knows it. And everybody sees it. Does everybody know that you're a Christian? Does everybody see, because of how God's blessed you, that he's delivered you? That's the first step. Look at verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. You see, this keeps going and this keeps going. It's still on me. It's not about them. It's about me. And what I want God to do is where he started, where he delivered, where I'm not captive anymore. As the streams come down, as the water begins to fill the dry creek bed, as the stream comes down from the north to the south, as it goes down, it fills what was empty. There were still some people that were in captivity when the first bunch left. And they thanked God, and it was a great thing, and they were glad what God had done. But Lord, there's still some folks there. Turn again. Keep working. Keep working. As the water, as the streams come down and fills. And then me personally, I know I'm saved. I know I'm right with God. I've had great things happen. But Lord, continue. I want the stream. I want the water. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to flow down like the streams in the south, to come down and make me stronger, make me grow more and be better and better. That's what I want to do. And when you start to talk to somebody like that, if they're still sitting there, you got something to talk about on their side. Why isn't it like that today? I've heard people just go with their head down. You wouldn't want to go to church, would you? Well, they're witnessing, I guess. You know, I used to tell them, here, get my phone number, and if you get somebody that's hungry, give me a call, I'll come help them. You know, and it's just so backwards nowadays. It's so selfish. It's so much in the flesh. It's organized. It's ABC, 1, 2, 3. There's a recipe. There's a plan. It's not like this. You see a difference? This is an awesome, great thing that's happened to us. It's a great and awesome thing that needs to keep on happening to us and never change. Because way down here in the south, where the stream hasn't gotten, it would be awful, awful to have a whole stream or a whole body that's 80% with the water in it, with the stream in it, with the power in it. Left alone, but not the streams in the south, because it goes all the way north to south. It completely does a good job. Holy Spirit, do a complete job in me. And there's still some of my folks that aren't saved, but I want you to do a great thing for them. Look at verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. These kind of tears from the great thing. I'm sowing in the tears of greatness of God, what he's done in my heart, what he's done in my spirit. The physical, chemical issues, the spiritual issues, all the things that I lack all over, all through me. Those are the tears of joy. And they're joy because I know God did a great thing in me, and I want him to do a great thing in you. and he can do it. I don't need to know where your problem is. I don't need to know what you're doing wrong. You're a sinner. God says you are already. You already told me that you're lost. All that doesn't matter. Because I want to sow in these great tears of captivity that God has got me out of. That's how we approach somebody. That's the spiritual way of having a guarantee that the spiritual life that I have, that I sow, is just right. Now, there's two sides to these tears. It isn't a joy. It is heavy. It's awesome to have the tears of knowing God delivered me and he will deliver somebody else if they'll listen. But then the joy that happens when those tears that are sowed, there's a reaping. God used my problems, my sickness, my disease to help somebody else see the same thing that I saw. And what a joy. What a joy it is to be able to be used to see somebody saved. How do you know? We just know, don't we? You know when somebody's repented. I don't know why I had to go over. I went over this for years before. Well, how do you know they've changed? Well, they haven't if you can't tell. Right? I mean, it's that big of a thing when the cancer's gone and you're free and you don't need anything and you can go on. There's a difference in that person, isn't there? There's a difference in people that finally laid it down and finally quit doing the drugs. And there's a difference in them, isn't there? We can see and we can know in our awesome tears of the deliverance of God, there's joy. There's joy. That's the outcome. Verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. The precious seed. Bear means to lift up. I'm lifting up the present seed of what God's done for me, what was wrong with me, how he's delivered me, and how you're delivered. Precious seed, isn't it? And there needs to be time, there needs to be prayer, and there needs to be understanding. You mean you don't have to call somebody a sinner or talk about their sin? No. It's what's happened to you. How awesome it is that God saved us and changed us. And if somebody really is hungry, and if somebody really is torn over their sin, the work spiritually is going to begin to go into them. And they're going to say, I want my sin gone. I want my cancer gone. I want to be delivered. And when it's all spiritual, we don't have to mess around with all the chemicals and all the drugs and all the counseling in that way. We don't have to do it because God's done a great work in us, hasn't he? And it's such a joy to spread that word. He that goeth forth, we've talked about that a bunch. A lot of folks, here's another step closer to understanding what I've been preaching. Preacher said we need to go out. We need to go out. Here it is again. He that goeth forth. What that means is you're not in the same place, physically or spiritually. I can't win somebody. I can't give somebody my heart where I'm at physically. I might go to them physically and they might be the right one, but I haven't gone forth away from my own heart. So I need to leave where I'm at. I need to go forth physically. I need to go forth and be changed spiritually. Dwelling and understand on how God's done such a great work in me. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. I've heard them saved on run down the number. We had 8. We had 9. We had 10. We had 2. Did you have any rejoicing? I went out to visitation many, many, many years. Knocked on many, many doors. And they were disappointed because they didn't have nobody to count. And I was over there rejoicing. Because we had church where I was at. The church, the family that I went to visit, we had church. What do you mean? Where's the rejoicing? You can come back with numbers and you come back with statistics. And it might just be flesh on flesh. Somebody just told you that. I was out years ago and we had a man we went to see and he said, oh, I talk to preachers every week at the jail when I'm in. I spend weekends. I got a lot of years left. And the preacher talked to him, prayed with him, and he said, you're saved. Would you come to church and be baptized? He says, I don't know. And when preacher left, I went back and talked to him. I says, let me ask you some questions. Did you get saved? You said you did. You prayed. I heard you. You said you was willing to get baptized someday. He said, oh, no. He says, I tell that to every one of them. Because I do it every weekend at the jail. That's the wrong way, isn't it? But the right way, God's way, is so awesome, isn't it? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm able to bring some news back that I didn't have before. And sometimes even bring that person with me. Maybe even to the point where we can bind them up and there's a bunch of them. Turn to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Same guarantee in verse 9. Be not weary in well-doing, because in due season, in God's time, you will reap if you faint not. Keep going, keep going, keep talking, keep praying. But the Bible is very clear that we don't need to be deceived or misled, because the fleshly witnessing, it's impossible for it to bear spiritual anything. It does not work that way. A run together, a quick, an obligation. If you get this, I'll tell you this. That's impossible. No wonder nobody gets saved. No wonder there's no rejoicing. And this is what I was going to tell that fellow. I said, you let me come back and I'll share with you what I feel like, what I believe. And this is what I would tell him. Be not deceived. Don't get misled. Don't mock God. Are you serious? We're mocking God, telling him that we got a different way? That I don't need to tell him my testimony. I just need him to repeat this prayer. I just need him to do this, and we'll give him what he wants. That's very dangerous. Very dangerous, isn't it? God's way is not mocking, and we're not deceived. We've been delivered. And he, the Bible says, that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. It never goes any farther. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's a spiritual way. If there is hellfire, it's the kind of fire that refines, not destroys. This morning, what if those folks that you really love have never heard this before? And what if the people you love's never heard this before because it never came from you? What if the people you love and care for would hear you say these things because they've happened to you? There's hope, isn't there? And it might be down the road. But if you don't faint and you keep on, it'll work. It's not who you know. It's what you show. And I had a friend not long ago said, I'm not afraid to die. I said, yeah, but will you be ashamed to die? We don't want to do that, do we? This morning you need to come. If you're lost and the Lord's already been dealing with you, you need to come. If you need to get your heart right for the Lord's Supper, the Bible says, let every man examine himself. Examine so you can take part. Because if you don't examine yourself, or you misjudge yourself and misjudge God and say, well, I just feel good. I'm not going to take it because I've had a problem this week. That's not right. God is here. God forgives. God wants you to partake of this with Him spiritually. So whatever it takes, we need to get right, don't we? And we're going to take this time to do that. Won't you stand this morning and...